Our scripture lesson this evening comes from the book of Hebrews. We'll be looking at several verses from Hebrews chapter 11, and then we'll also be looking at the first three verses in Hebrews chapter 12. First of all, verses in Hebrews chapter 11, and then the first three verses in chapter 12. Listen carefully, because this is the word of the Lord. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And then dropping down to verse 13, all these people, and the writer of Hebrews here lists a number of people from the Old Testament. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. And then dropping down to verse 39 in chapter 11. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And then chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And that's the word of the Lord for us this evening. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you read these words, the first words in chapter 12, verse 1, that says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, what do you envision? What picture comes to your mind? Now, maybe you picture a whole group of people who are in heaven or even standing or sitting on a cloud, cheering us on as we go through life. They've finished life here on this earth, and they're cheering us on, like spectators that may be watching their team and cheering them on so that they might win. Well, that's really not the picture that the writer of Hebrews has here. And to get at that, I think what we need to do is to look at the words great cloud and then the word witness. Now, the word cloud in Scripture is used in a number of places as a symbol, as a metaphor, as a word picture for different things. For instance, it's used in the Old Testament to symbolize God coming down to the Israelites in the cloud, in the tabernacle, in the temple, or God leading the Israelites through the desert in the cloud. It would represent the glory of God. Well, in this case, what the writer is talking about with the cloud is it's a mass or a great assembly of people. It's a great number of people. And that kind of dovetails with what John writes in Revelation 1, verse 7, when he talks about Jesus coming again. And he says, look, he is coming with the clouds. Not on the clouds, but with the clouds, with that host of angels that will come with him in glory. So what the writer is talking about here, when he talks about a great cloud, he's not talking about a cloud that people are standing on, but he's talking about a countless host of people who are up there, out there. And he says that they are a cloud or a big group of people that are witnesses. Now, when you think about the word witness, you think about, at least I think about, a trial where people come forward, they go to the witness stand, they say that they would tell the truth and nothing but the truth. And what they do is they basically testify to the truth about a certain case. They attest to the facts or the events that occurred. And we trust that they will tell the truth. And so what the writer is talking about here is we have this great countless host of people who testify to the grace and the goodness of God. Somebody has described this as they're not talking about witnessing as to what or how we are doing, but bearing witness by their lives that God will bring us through. In other words, it's not a situation where they are looking down on us, but where we are looking back at their lives and seeing how they made it through this life, through the struggles of this life, by the grace of God and through faith. And they're testifying that they have finished the race through faith, and that by looking at them, we can do it as well. Now, chapter 11 lists a number of these people who are considered part of this great cloud of witnesses. They're referred to often as heroes of faith. You might say that this chapter is like a faith hall of fame, and every one of them were commended by God for their faith. Now, these people lived many years ago, and we might ask the question, well, how can people who lived so long ago have any impact on our lives today? How can they be of any good? How can they help us as we run the race of life today here in the 21st century? Well, Paul writes this in Romans 15, verse 14. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance or patience and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So these people are mentioned here because their lives teach us, they encourage us, and they also help us to persevere or help us to endure. And what I'd like to do this evening is to look at this list, these heroes of faith, this great cloud of witnesses, and asking three questions. The first question is, who are they? The second is, what did they do? And the third is, what are they saying to us today? Who are they? What did they do? And what are they saying to us today? Well, who are they? The writer of Hebrews lists a number of people, a variety of people, in chapter 11. I believe there's 16 people who are specifically mentioned by name. But there are also Moses' parents. There are the people of Israel. And there are also the prophets, all different types of people, different personalities, different characters, but all are people of faith. And that's why the writer mentions these people here. And if you have your Bibles open, look at chapter 11, verse 1. And it defines faith as faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, the King James Version is a version that I like a little bit better because it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And evidence, like witnesses, reminds us again of a trial, of a courtroom. And it's interesting that evidence is presented to a jury who's never seen the event or seen the situation. And the same is true for us. This evidence is something that we haven't seen, but we have faith because we believe. Evidence is given in a trial to support the truth. And the lives of these people who are this great cloud of witnesses testify to the truth of God, that He keeps His promises, that He will be with us through all things. St. Augustine said this about faith. Faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of this faith is to see what we believe. And I also like what Warren Wiersbe, who is an author and a pastor, and he says this in his commentary on Hebrews. He says, faith enables us to understand what God does. Faith enables us to see what others cannot see. As a result, faith enables us to do what others cannot do. And as you go through this list, you see how you have a lot of ordinary people who did a lot of extraordinary things because of their faith in God. Now, getting back to this list of people, different people, both men and women, some of them really good, but some of them not so good. They were good at times, but at other times, they really sinned against God. And yet, all of them had that faith, and all of them are commended by God. If you have your Bibles open, Just look at several of these people who are part of this great cloud of witnesses. There's Abel. We don't know a whole lot about Abel. He's the son of Adam and Eve. His brother was Cain. He made a sacrifice to God, and as a result of God preferring his sacrifice over Cain's, Cain kills him, probably the first person who was killed in the world. There's Enoch. Enoch, who walked with God. In fact, he walked so closely with God that he was just taken up into heaven. He did not die. There's Noah, who obeyed God when it may have seemed ridiculous to build this big boat and put all the animals in it, and it took him so long, and it was such hard work, and yet he kept on going. And yet, after the flood was over and he was back on dry ground, we read that he became drunk and he exposed himself to his children. He disgraced himself to them. There's the patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Abraham, we think highly of him, and yet there are times when he lied about Sarah, his wife, being his sister, because he was afraid that the king would kill him so that he could have his wife Sarah. And there's Jacob, who was a deceiver. He deceived his father and Esau in order to get Esau's birthright. And you could go on and on. Rahab, who was a prostitute. Moses, who tried to take things in his own hand, and he killed an Egyptian. David, a great king, and yet he was a murderer and an adulterer. And Samson. Samson had his good times, but he also was bad at times as well. A great variety of people. All ordinary people, just like you and I. And many of them flawed. That none of them were perfect. And yet they were commended for their faith. And, you know, this great cloud of witnesses doesn't just include people going back thousands of years, but we could go back hundreds of years to people like Martin Luther and John Calvin, and we could go back just a couple of generations, our grandparents, our parents, who died in the Lord, are also part of this great cloud of witnesses. And what made them different? It wasn't their wealth. It wasn't their status. It wasn't their education. It was their faith. They were commended for their faith. So I'm going to say that the main reason that these people are worthy of mention in this great chapter is because they demonstrated their faith in their lives and were recognized by God for doing so. You see, they didn't depend on themselves for doing what they did, but they allowed God through faith to work through them. And by doing that, they were able to do some incredible things. And we'll get into that in a minute. God makes a habit of taking ordinary people like us and doing some incredible things because of our faith, of our trust in Him. So that's who they were. Well, what did they do? If you have your Bibles open, look at verse 13. In chapter 11, it says, all these people were still living by faith. They did not receive the things promised. They were living by faith. They walked by faith, not by sight. They weren't waiting for God to do something in their lives. They first stepped out in faith, and then God did some incredible things. And also, it says that they did not receive the things promised. They saw them and welcomed them from a distance. They were looking to the future. They weren't looking for a reward in their life today. They were looking for that reward of eternal life someday. And again, if we look at some of the examples, Abel who made that sacrifice, and he gave the best of the portion of his herd. It says the fat portion, that's what he gave. And God was pleased with that. Abraham left his family and his homeland, went to the land of Canaan, didn't know where he was going, but he was obedient to God, and he went. And then later in his life, God calls Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Now, Isaac was supposed to be the heir. Abraham was supposed to have family of nations and through Isaac. And then God asks Abraham to slaughter Isaac. And Abraham comes so close that he had the knife ready to plunge into his chest. and God stops him. But Abraham was obedient. Moses who pleaded with God, don't send me to Pharaoh, I can't speak. And yet he goes, he's obedient, and he sees that God promises to do exactly or does exactly what he promised to do. There's Joshua. Joshua, who the first battle is to defeat Jericho. And what does God ask him to do? Walk around there once a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, do it seven times. And you think about it, that just didn't make sense. They would be sitting ducks with the people standing on the wall. And yet Joshua is obedient, even when it didn't make sense. And Noah, it was a long, hard work that he did in building that ark, and yet he kept going. And there's Rahab, the prostitute, and she takes a risk. She risked her life by letting those spies out of the city. And you can go on. But all of these people, they took risks for God. Abraham risked going to a place he didn't know about. Moses risked going to Pharaoh. Moses asking Pharaoh to release all these people. Joshua taking a risk going around Jericho. And so on and so on. They were all obedient to God's command. They were all patient in not expecting to see their reward right away, but they were patient in waiting for that sometime in the future. And God used them in some powerful ways. Again, if you have your Bibles open, look at verse 33 in chapter 11. It says that these people, through faith, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life. On and on, these people did some extraordinary things because of their faith in God. But when you think about it, think about people who were just a couple of generations behind us. People who came over here from Europe. Many of our ancestors from Holland, they didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have a lot of education. A lot of them came over here and really started from scratch. And yet, think of what they did. They built all the churches in this area. They started the Holland Home. They started the Christian Healthcare Center. They started a Christian school. They risked money. They risked their time. They risked things in order to be obedient to God in establishing these Christian institutions so that generations to come would benefit from it. They didn't have a lot of money. They sacrificed the money that they had. They sacrificed their time. And they did it. They were obedient to God. And look how God has blessed what they did. And they did some incredible things as well. So we have this list of people in the Old Testament and people just generations past. They did some incredible things because of their faith, because they walked by faith. And they were looking to the future. They weren't necessarily concerned about their own condition, their own existence, but they were looking to the future and what God had in store for them. Well, thirdly, let's look at what they are saying to us today. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute. These people have been dead for thousands of years. How can they be speaking to us today? Well, in verse 4 of chapter 11, it says, by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. Well, if these heroes of faith, if this great cloud of witnesses could stand here this evening, what would they be telling us based on their lives? Well, I think Abel would probably be saying to us, when you give to the Lord, give from your heart. Give the Lord your best because he deserves the best that you have. I think if Abraham were here, he would say to us, when God calls, go. When God says, do this, be obedient. Do what he says. And Abraham, I think, would also tell us that when God maybe tests you sometime in your life, Be obedient. Trust God. He'll provide. And Moses. Moses, I think, would say that, you know, even though the situation seemed overwhelming, that I had to go to Pharaoh, just me, a shepherd, going to Pharaoh. When things seem overwhelming, keep going. God will keep his promises. Trust in God to do what he promises. Noah. Noah would probably say, you know, even though the work is hard, even though it's long, and you haven't seen any results yet, keep going. Keep going. Because God has a plan. And Joshua would probably say, you know, even though what God is asking you to do doesn't make sense, do it. Because God will provide. God will give you what you need. And Rahab. I think Rahab would probably say, you know, there are going to be times when maybe you have to take a risk. Maybe you're going to be ridiculed. Maybe you might even be persecuted. But take that risk because the reward is worth it. And ultimately, the example for us is Jesus Christ. As the writer says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus Christ, who endured all of that, who came down from heaven, who let go of that glory, came down here to sinful men, and he endured all of that for us. Certainly, that should give us encouragement to keep on going in our Christian lives as well. You see, every victory that this cloud of witnesses experienced came through faith and the grace of God. And what they're saying to us in general is when life seems to go south on you, when life seems to get sour, don't give up. Keep going. Because the reward is worth it, even though the risk may seem to be great. And they're all saying to us, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on heaven, because that's where our reward is. And that's the reward that awaits us someday when either Jesus comes again or he calls us home. I think the bottom line that these people are saying to us is that be obedient. Trust in God. Keep on going. Endure. Persevere. Because God is always with you. God will always provide. God always keeps his promises. So what does this mean for us today? These people lived thousands of years ago, and yet they still are speaking to us today. And just as God called all of these people to do something for him, God may be calling us as individuals or as a church to go out, to step out in faith and to share our faith, to help someone in need, to help to provide, to give to hurricane victims, whatever it might be. God may be calling us tonight. And there may be risks involved. It may be long, hard work that's ahead. There may be struggles that we may go through. It may be a difficult time. But as we go forward, we need to listen to what this cloud of witnesses is saying to us, because they are still speaking to us today. You know, we don't know what God has in store for us, but we do know through this great cloud of witnesses that God is a faithful God, and that God is going to be with us no matter what. And when we read these words here in chapter 12, verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. That word fix can mean to look at him, but more so than that, it means to trust in him. Always trust in God, because he is ever faithful. He will never break his promises. So the bottom line to encourage us in going forward is have faith. Trust in God, because God will bring us through. And when we do this, when we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, when we listen to the testimonies of this great cloud of witnesses, we will not only just make it through this life, but God will do incredible things through us, by his grace, through faith, just as he did with that great cloud of witnesses. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God and Father, we thank you for these chapters in your word. We thank you for this great cloud of witnesses that includes not only men and women who lived very long ago, but people who lived only hundreds of years and people who lived just decades ago, people that we know, friends and loved ones who died in the Lord. And Lord, as we look at their lives, we see that they testify to your goodness. They testify to your grace. They testify to your faithfulness. And as we read about how you took care of them and how you helped them through this life, that we find encouragement that when we go through difficult times, when we find ourselves taking a risk, when we find ourselves struggling, that we can be encouraged by the fact that these people struggled, these people sinned, these people had difficult times in their lives as well. And yet they endured, they persevered, and now they are in heaven with you. And Father, we look forward to that day when this life is done and we are in heaven with you in perfect relationship. So Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on heaven so that we might seek those things first, knowing that you will provide everything else that we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.